Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God. And once again, boy, it's an honor and a privilege to receive an invitation from the Lord. Hallelujah, today and this hour, and for us to come boldly into the presence of our Father in heaven, our Father, you know, our source and sustainer, and just eat from the King's table. Hey, listen, you know, if you're listening to this radio broadcast, that's what this is. You know, it's an invitation from our Father in heaven for all of us, his children, to come boldly through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the sanctuary, through all the rituals and traditions and ceremonies and worship and all of that, through all of that. Don't go around that or over that or beside that. Through all of that, all the way into the literal presence of the Most High God. Because all of those things are means to that end. At the tabernacle, that's the way into the presence of the Most High God. All of that, the thanksgiving, the praise, the worship services, all of that, the seminars, the program we put on there, all that's a means to one end, and that's for us to come all the way behind the veil into the literal presence of the Most High God, where we can not only fellowship with him collectively, man, through our the fivefold ministry that he's given us, but also individual. See, right now, you know, you're not congregated. You know, you're right there in your homes and your automobiles, you know, and in the comfort of yourself, you know, you for family or family member or friend, you know. So this one-on-one. And that's what God is summoning us into, you know, if you're listening to this broadcast. Now, he told Moses, hey, Moses, tell the people, man, to tomorrow, you know, at 3 o'clock, man, I want to come down, man, and I want to talk to them myself. We know God always has always been his intentions to have a personal relationship with all of us, not just a collective relationship where we all come together and assemble ourselves together. And we don't never want to forsake that. But boy, I'm talking about something even closer than that, and that's that one-on-one. And listen, that because that. Meanwhile, that's so much greater than one-on-one, because the congregation meeting, not just once a week or twice a week or three times a week, but that one-on-one, that's 24/7. Hallelujah. I got to say that again. See, the corporate experience, you know, that's 2-3 hours on Sundays, you know, Bible study nights, you know, choir rehearsals, and all those programs that we put on, you know, that's just for a little time. But boy, that one-on-one, that's 24/7. Like, when you come into that place, hey, God don't want us to just come into his presence. He wants us to dwell there. David said it this way, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Boy, let me tell you something. Boy, this is a higher calling. Lord. Say that again, bro. That's a high calling. What high calling? A high calling that's in Christ Jesus. You know what the high calling that's in Christ Jesus is? You just break it down a simple term, to be just like Jesus. And boy, he come to show us up. That's why I say everything that he that is all about, boy, is we dwell in the presence of the Lord 24/7. Why? Because, boy, he was in God and God was in him. They was one. That's why I say he wants us to dwell. Being forever conscious, man, that he's not only around us, boy, but he's on the inside of us. If he's on the inside of us, boy, wherever we go, boy, he's there. Why? Because, boy, you there. And he's on the inside of all of us. And, boy, he want to fellowship with us. He want to commune with us. He want to develop us, man, into who we really are. Well, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, man, there ain't no cliche or no message or no sermon. More, that's the eternal truth from the voice of the Most High God, from the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 82, man, he was standing in the congregation of the mighty and judging amongst the gods. Well, he didn't call you mighty. He said, man, you a little G God too. He said later on, he said, and you are the children of the Most. You are little God and children of the Most High God. That's where the boy said, you just like your dad. You got the same character as nature, man, and functioning ability, man. Just like your dad. You can focus just like you. You can function just like your dad. That's what Jesus was doing. He was functioning just like his dad. And boy, when he come out here and displayed that, man, let me tell you something, boy, he was showing you and I, man, how we supposed to roll. That's the high calling. He was showing you and I us. That's how God created us. Bible say, boy, God say, Lord, I pray that they might put know that I love them the way you love me, boy, that same love that you have for me, they might know that that's the same love that you have for them. Lord. And that is, I know my boy, that's the word of the Lord. That's why God say, man, come on into my presence, man. Hey, Lord, because my sheep going to hear my voice. And hey, listen, my word, God, I ain't going to hype you up. We're going to build you up. Well, I got to do more than just hype you up and stir up my emotion. Because if you just do that, man, you know you ain't going to get your inheritance. But if it builds you up, that's why you say in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, you say, now, brethren, I commend you under the word of God's grace. Well, in other words, boy, I invite you to the table, man, of the king, man, you know, to come eat from the king's table, to hear, man, what the king say to you about the fivefold ministry, say to you. That's why I say, boy, listen, man, don't put your faith in the wisdom of a man. You listen to what God said about you. Because, boy, that same Holy Spirit that's on the inside of man and on the inside of me is on the inside of every last one of us, man. Hallelujah. Yeah. And what he going to do? He going to, who knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. Say that again. But who knows the mind of God and the things of God except the Spirit of God? So who can reveal to us, man, what God is and who he is and really tell us what's really going on, man? And know what's in the mind of God. Not just in his hands and what he do and what he can do for us, but what's in his mind? What's his desire? What's his intent? What's his reason, man? What's his purpose, man? What's his original intent and idea, you know, in creating, man, you know, the universe and all mankind? And Lord, when you can come into his presence, man, and the word of his grace, and eat from the king's table, then, boy, you can come to the knowledge, man, of who you really are. You know the truth, man. Right? Because, man, you go to the original source of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Who is that? That's the Father himself. That's why when he speak to your heart, let me tell you something, I'm talking about when your spirit speaks. When he speak to your heart through the Holy Spirit that knows the mind of God, man, that word is eternal. That ain't nothing you take to memory, man. That's something that's imparted into our spirits. And boy, if you're meditating and pondering and pursue it and go after it and receive it and grab a hold to it and seek it. What, boy? The eternal word of the Most High God. It'll not only hype you up, boy, but it'll build you up and give you your inheritance. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven. All that heaven consists of. Give that to you. That's your inheritance. The heaven, man, you'll start receiving, man, your inheritance. What is that, Arthur? Boy, that's behind the veil. See, out there in the gates and in the course of praise, at the gates of thanksgiving, in the course of praise, and the sanctuary and everything else, man, the word is out there, but the understanding of that, you know, to receive that and to grab a hold of that, man, that's in the presence. Because all those things that we're trying to get in life, I'm talking about from A to Z, spirit, soul, and body. All those things is in our place. That's in the presence of the Lord. That's where all our blessings are. The Bible says, thanks be unto God who has blessed us, who has. That's an old English word, already done. In Ephesians chapter 1. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, he's already blessed us. Has blessed us. But with all the spiritual and all the blessings in heavenly places, where your blessing is in that place, in the presence of the Lord. That's why I say it's an invitation, man, that God, boy, called you to want you to know, man, that he forever with you. He ain't never going to leave you. He ain't never going to forsake you. And as you come to the knowledge of that, man, then you got to grow in the faith of that to appropriate that in your life. How you do that, Arthur? By hearing what, boy, the voice of God speak to you. Because we're, man, a constant fellowship, man, a constant awareness, man. And well, so, brother, so wherever you go, man, you go there, listen, you can talk to God 24/7. You be talking, man, talking about God, because, man, you got that rich. Just like you think and everything else, and your thoughts to yourself and everything else, you can think the same way in the way, man, in your fellowship and development, man, in your fellowship with your Father in heaven. Wow, just communing with him. But that's where you want, that's where development takes place at. That's where your blessings is at. Listen, man, the original blessing, that's where it took place at. The Bible said, man, God created man in his image and his likeness and gave him dominion, man, over all the earth and everything that comes from the earth. And then the Bible says, and then, man, God blessed them. Then he put them in a place. He provided a place. He planted the Garden of Eden. He planted that environment. He planted that spot on the earth where his presence, man, was at, man. And the Bible says, and there he placed the man. And watch what he say, and God blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply and make the whole earth just like this little paradise, just like this little Garden of Eden. What do you say? And God blessed them. Where you blessed them at? In that garden, in that place. What that garden represent, boy, Adam and Eve, man, walking and talking with God in the cool of the day in the presence of the Lord, unbroken fellowship, eating from the king's table, man, talking to God, man, personally, a personal relationship, man, with the Father. Say, Lord. Boy, that's the primary thing, man. That's the part of why them scriptures in the Bible, like, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's that? Seek for his boy to get into his presence so you can see what he's doing. Instead of trying to get him into your presence, seek to get into, because he's already in your presence. He's not only in your presence, he's on the inside of you. You seek to get in him. Listen, how you do that, man? By becoming more and more aware, man, that boy, he in you and you in him. The anointed king on the inside of you. Man, and begin to develop. What? That anointed king that you are, or that anointed ruler that you are, or that anointed queen that you are. All the king, queen, all it means a ruler. What you mean? That's somebody who got dominion and authority and power and control and influence over territory. Listen, your life, that's your territory. And God said, I give you power and control and influence and more authority, man, over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life here on this earth. I give you authority over that in the mighty name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus. Not only that, boy, the power of attorney. That's just, in the name of Jesus, just give us the power of attorney. The boy operating this earth, man, as though it was Jesus himself. So that's what it really is, Christ in us. The big Christ in us, man, developing the little Christ in us. The big king on the inside of us developing man, the little king on the inside of us. The big Lord on the inside of us that's developing man, the little Lord on the inside of us. The big God that's on the inside of us developing man, the little G God that's on the inside of God. The boy, the mightiest of almighty man developing the mighty men and women that we are in Christ Jesus. How often as we feed. So the Bible said, don't be in a haste, man, in a hurry, man, to get out of the presence of the Lord. No, Lord. You can be in a haste, in a hurry to get out of our church service and everything else, but boy, when God summons you into your square, the way I am. And boy, God speaks to your heart, man, and watch this here, in words of love. And listen, even, man, and listen, those words of love, they just always, man, you know, sweet and kind words, those words of love come in rebuke and reproof. In correction, in chastisement. Man, but it's all in love, man. It ain't all in men all evil. Anything that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't use that to chastise people. He uses words. To not condemn his people, man, but to convict his people. Well, he speaks to their heart. And boy, there's no condemnation, man, to all of us who are in Christ Jesus. Ain't no condemnation. Ain't no condemning word, man, coming from God. None whatsoever. And he said, I commend you unto the word of his grace. Hallelujah. Boy, Jesus Christ comes preaching the gospel. Boy, gospel means the good news. It's a good thing to be reproved and rebuked and corrected and chastised, man. Them who he loves, he chastens. So his word is going, man, chasing us too. Boy, he whoop out behind, man, but he's going to do it with his word. Not with sickness or disease all this other thing, man, that might come up on us, man. You know, you say that God, but man, listen, God ain't got no sickness or no disease or none of that mess to put up on us. He and him is light. There's no darkness at all. Glory to God. In him. And not only is it light, man, it's light. And that more abundant. What do you mean? Superior in quality and superior in quantity. A whole lot of good light. Glory to God. What kind of life is that, boy? The life of God. I told you, boy, it's a high calling. It ain't called to no religion, man. It ain't called men to dead. It ain't called to that, man. It ain't called men to condemn that or do. It ain't called men to declare that man not suitable for you. Whenever you hear me talk about religion, man, let me tell you something, man. God dealt with his people in that way. The point about it is, man, he ain't dealing with his people in that way no more. If you're not careful, man, you'll be preoccupied with like he's still dealing with you in that way, and that ain't hindering you from getting to the way in which he's dealing with you. He ain't dealing with you according to your sin no more and according to the law and the is no more. That's past season. That season has passed, boy. It's a whole brand new season. It's a whole brand new man age and time when God is dealing with mankind totally different from the way he dealt with the people, man, from in your Bible, from Exodus chapter 18 all the way up until Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From Exodus chapter 18, when Moses delivered his children out, and the prophecies, man, that's all of the Bible, all the Old Testament, from the second book all the way, man, through the Old Testament, man. That's God giving man, you know. He dealt with them in religion, then law and prophecy. The man, the law and the prophecy been fulfilled, man. He ain't dealing with them no more. Man, he is no longer under the law. It don't mean, man, that you go around the law and go past the law and ain't got to obey the law. No, this is the way you man is really established on the inside of us, in our hearts first. But you're living in the period and time in history, man, where God is no longer counting your trespasses against you. It don't mean that you can just do anything. That means, man, that boy, you can come on back into the presence of the Most High God, even though your sins be like scarlet. He didn't wash the white as snow. Not for you to do anything and live any kind of way. And that's for you to come on back into the presence of the law. That's to make you holy, man. Hallelujah. And without sin, man, why? So that you can come on back into the presence of the law, man. That's what got you put out of the presence of the law. Man, one man's disobedience, one man's rebellion against the word of God. Well, listen, through one man's obedience, who is that one man rebellion? That's Adam. Got him put out of that place and lost that place. Through one man's obedience, who is that? That's Jesus, boy. You and I can come back into that place. And that's God's greatest desire, boy, that we come back into that place and develop our relationships and our rituals and our ceremonies and our seminars and our programs and our preaching and our teaching and everything else, man, from that place. Glory to God. But therein, man, is it all, man, we'll see what in that place. For everything, man, from Exodus, man, chapter 18, man, when God delivered his people out of Egypt, man, you know, and gave Moses the law and the prophets started prophesying, man, about a promise, what the original prophecy, what because God set up that place upon the earth. And boy, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, he set up, boy, his kingdom upon the earth and his way of doing things and his desire and his intent and his purpose for the earth and mankind on the earth. Well, he set that up. That's in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's God setting up his kingdom on the earth. In Genesis chapter 3, man, he lost that kingdom through Adam's man's rebellion or disobedience or transgression of God's word. And when he was talking to me, when Adam lost it, all mankind lost it. For everything that God made a promise for in Genesis chapter 3, after he lost, he said, I promise you something. Well, that's the first prophecy. He said, the seed of that woman. That's the prophecy to the death and to man, all mankind. Well, boy, hey, I promise you, I'm coming back. Hey, Lord, I'm coming myself, and I'm going to redeem their life from that destruction. I'm going to come through the seed of that woman. And I'm going to bruise your head to death. I'm going to take back the authority that they can use. I'm going to restore them back to this original place right here. Boy, that's the original promise. Hallelujah. And everything that God was doing, man, you know, from that place on, man, is a means to the fulfillment of that promise. Well, to restore, cleanse you up from all your unrighteousness so that you can be restored into my presence. Glory. I ain't started you off in no religion. I started you off, Lord, say, in my presence. That's where you come from. You come from me. In his presence. Listen, I ain't trying to get you to heaven. Man, you come from him. I brought you to this earth, man. You know what? To help me, boy, establish, man, boy, extend my governing influence of my territory, heaven, to earth. Yeah, Lord. So that my presence might be, so that the earth might be filled with the glory of God, the presence of the Lord. And boy, everything for me, as a type of shot, just like Moses delivered the children of Israel out from the bondage of Pharaohs and Egypt. Well, that's the same thing that Jesus Christ did, boy. He come to deliver us, man, from the bondage of Satan and this world system that we live in. To set us free. For the purpose, all that, everything is a means to that end. So everything that started happening in your Bible, man, from Genesis, from Revelation, Exodus all the way up to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, when Jesus first man begun his public ministry, all of that is all those stories, all those promises, all his means, man, to one end. It's God's meaning, God's way of doing things to what? To one end. What? That's the fulfillment of that promise. What? The Christ, man, and redeem all our life from destruction, man, so that we can be restored back to that place. What's that place, boy? The presence of the Lord. Dwelling in his presence and fixing at his table forever. So we come. And in that place, boy, you know what that place is? That's hell. You know what God wants that man, you know, establish that and set up that in the territory that he gave all of us. for. That's the earth. So everything, all the way, man, from like I say, from Exodus, man, that's the second book in the Bible. All those stories, man, is just types and shadows. But it just means to an end. Let me say something while I'm right here. Everything that from when Adam and Eve got put out of the presence of the Most High God, and then they start having children separated from God. And all their children are separated from God right there, man, you know, they born in sin and shaped in iniquity. In other words, man, they born separated from God. They born with a sin nature. That's all of us. Everybody who was born after Adam and Eve, that came through Adam and Eve after they got separated from God, was automatically born with a sin nature. So he couldn't help but to do all that. So when God was speaking to them then, from that point on, hey, man, listen, boy, that was his permissive will. It's very important that you understand that. Not his perfect will. His perfect will is what he spoke to them in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's his perfect will. And when Jesus Christ comes, listen, if you want to know what his perfect will is, man, then you got to know, man, you got to know this. You got to hear what Jesus said. I ain't talking about the gospel of Jesus. I'm talking about the gospel that he preached. You got to hear what he said. Not what everybody say about him, but what he say himself. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that we preach about Jesus, but the gospel that Jesus preached is what he said. And that's what's been lost in the graveyard of religion, man, what he said. We know about what he did and how he was born and how he died up on the cross, man, but we don't know what he preached. We don't know what he said. Like what he said, man, was the same thing that God said to Adam and Eve, man, before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, what he was talking to Eve. He's the word of life. He's the original word. He wasn't speaking for God, that's God himself. That's the fulfillment of the promise. Well, I promise you, boy, the seed of that woman, that's God, boy, incarnate. That God, man, became a man, man. So that he could redeem our life from that destruction, man, so that we could come back into his place. Come back into his presence. And feast at the king's table. So all those things that he was speaking to them, man, after the fall, man, was his permissive will. Why? Because they were separated from him, and he couldn't no longer fellowship with them. They had lost connection. They had lost the connection. And in losing that connection, man, let me tell you something, boy. Then go ahead and speak to them through mankind and through prophecy and through him known down to the fivefold minutes that he's speaking to us the day in. But in the written intent, man, to speak to us himself. So all that he was speaking to us through the prophet, man, was, man, his permissive will. But he had to permit it to be. Because he can't violate his word. A lot of things he had to permit to happen. But even in his permissive will, boy, he was always there, boy. His grace was always in there. He always made a way, man, where it wouldn't have. Even when we were dead and trespassing and sin, man, he's been making a way all down through time. From the very beginning. See, Adam and Eve, they tried to make a way. That's what religion is, boy. When they sin, they tried to fix themselves up. They tried to cover themselves up. That's where religion originated in. That's man's trying to appease deity, man, trying to clean itself up, trying to save itself, trying to do things, man, to get back into that place. There ain't nothing you can do that. You're the best you can do. Your righteousness is like filthy rags. Why? Because you've already seen it. You know it. Yeah, Lord. So what God did, even back then, God showed his love and his grace, man, for us, man. But he killed an animal, man, and provided us a clothing for them. He covered them. He saved them. I told you, boy, the kingdom of God is not what we can do for him and buy religious bitches and everything else. Hey, and all that was his permissive will and how he was dealing with the people in a age or in a time or in a season in life, man, down through time. Different periods in life, man, different seasons in life, different people in life, different ways in God dealing with mankind, man. All the way from Exodus, man, in your Bible, all the way down, man, to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, is different seasons in the history of mankind, where God is dealing with mankind in different ways and different laws and different men, you know, responsibilities in different ways, but all means to one end, Lord. Lord, to get you to the fulfillment of that promise. What's that promise? I promise you. The seed of that woman. That woman. Hallelujah. Who is that? That's Jesus. Who is Jesus, Lord? Hallelujah. That's Emmanuel. Who is that? That's God in me. Who is that? That's God, boy, with us. Hello. What that is, boy, that's God with us. And who's doing that? That's God doing. He provided sacrifice. Even when they got put out of God, man, and they were living according to their conscience, and God was dealing with them in that way, in that way, there wasn't no law or none of that, man. There wasn't no Moses law and all that back doing. Hey, but God was still dealing with mankind. Hey, man, you know about Cain and Abel. You know, hey, listen, man, when it came time for a man to make a sacrifice on their own through their religious rituals and ceremonies, hey, man, Cain brought a sacrifice in the face of his crop. Abel bought a sacrifice, man, from the first of his flock, man, a living sacrifice, one that had life in him. So his sacrifice was, man, more, you know, received than the other. Why? Because the other one, man, he take life. He was following the covenant that God had did, man. So his sacrifice was better, man. But let me tell you something, man. His blood cried out, even if his brother killed him, man, from the ground. Why? Because he offered the right sacrifice. This is all God always, man, atoning. Always making a way for his people, even in their sin. Always atoning for them. Always providing sacrifice. Even when it came down to the law. And, man, the people, man, God gave Moses the law. As soon as God gave man Moses them the law, God gave Moses the law on the mountain, man, you know, and Moses came down and gave the law to the people, man. Let me tell you something. Before he even come down and gave it to them, they was already breaking the first law. The Bible said, I shall have no other God before me. And boy, as soon as Moses came out the mountain, man, he found and worshiping a golden calf that they had already, man, provided another God before him, before they even got the law. So the law was intended to be the schoolmaster to teach them, boy, you need a savior. Because all these laws that I'm giving you, you're already broken. So even in that, man, them breaking the law and everything else, God provided man the sacrifice and atonement, man. Every year, the high priest, the only one could go into the presence of the Most High God and make a sacrifice, man, for the people. So that the sins of the whole nation, man, could be forgiven, man, and God could continue to dwell with them. Even through them breaking of the law, man, listen, God's grace was always there. God's grace was always there. God's kindness and God's willingness. And well, why? Because, boy, let me tell you something, boy, what the king say, he's going to fulfill what he said. If he say, boy, he's going to redeem our life from destruction and restore back to us everything that we lost, then he's going to have that. What the church has stopped at and religion has stopped yet is the redeeming work of God. And you know what you've been redeemed from. You know a devil's hell, you know, but you don't know what you've been restored to. The redeeming work, man, is the good news about Jesus. The restoration work is the good news that Jesus preached. If you're not careful, the devil have us preoccupied with the good news about the redeeming work of God. And boy, if you don't understand that even death is a means to an end, all of that. I told you everything that Jesus Christ did, man, was a means to that one end. Everything that's in your Bible is a means to that one end. But boy, Lord dwelling in the presence of his people, man. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And boy, we becoming who we already are. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. That practice our rituals and our ceremonies and our tradition and our church service and our Thanksgiving and our seminar and our radio broadcast and all that, man. We operate through that priesthood. But man, all that's a means to an end. Don't get preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. Don't make the minor the major. The redeeming work is a minor. That's a good deal. That's a good news. But boy, I'm talking about, man, with a greater news than the purpose for the redeeming work. What? So that you could get to the purpose for the redeeming work. What's the purpose for the redeeming work? To get you to the restoration work. What's the restoration work? Restore us back into the Garden of Eden, back into the presence of the Most High God. and then man grow from there. Live your life from there. Hallelujah. That's where your joy is. And boy, if you got joy, then you got strength. And you can stand in there. I'm talking about, man, if you know that you know that you know, boy, that you grow in there and understand that, you get to that place where you know that you know that you know that, boy, wheresoever you go, Lord, that with you. And boy, as you become more and more conscious of that, boy, you won't worry about nothing. A long time ago, my mom asked me, say, how would the Lord ask her? He said, how would you feel if you knew that everything was all right? Amen. And boy, when she was telling me that, man, it was like the Lord was asking me. Yeah. And I hope that I tell you this story right here, that it's like the Lord is asking you the same thing. In fact, that's what he is asking you. How would you feel if you knew that everything was all right? I don't care what you might be going through. I don't care what the deal is, what it looks like. I don't care if you're the fiery furnace of life, you're the live being, if you're on the top of the mountain or the valley low, man. How would you feel that it don't matter where you are in life, man, you can know that you know that you know that everything is all right? How would you feel if you knew that? And boy, my mama saying she just stopped, boy, and began to meditate on that, boy, and boy, she couldn't even mend. She couldn't even mend this, and the peace that came over her, she said, you know, as she began to imagine that, you know, just imagining that. Just imagining how she would feel if you knew everything else. I guess it was God revealing to her and bits and pieces, you know, but man, he said it was a peace that passes all understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Did he say, well, man, she said, Lord, I would feel great. Because that's how she was feeling. God gave her a little glimpse of it. Then God, then she said, God told her, then feel that way. Why? Because, man, what you feel is presence. And in presence, everything is all right. Well, let me tell you something. If you know that you know that you know that you know beyond that shadow of doubt that God is with you, that God is for you, that our Father in heaven got us, the more conscious you become aware of that, man, the more boy, you are growing and knowing, man, it don't matter what, boy, everything is all right, boy. Boy, I'm his. I'm in his arm, man. Listen, yeah, I ain't talking about singing the song, man, in the arms of the Lord and singing in my life is in your hand. I'm talking about the reality of it. Boy, the God is for you and in you and with you, man. I'm talking about, boy, who can be against you? What can be against you? What can overcome you? If the Lord is your shepherd, I ain't talking about your pastor, your prophet, your evangelist, your bishop, your pope, your president, your boss. If the Lord is your shepherd, not your job, not your career, not your bank account, not your money. If the Lord is your shepherd, if the Lord is your shepherd, and the good news is he is our shepherd. The good news is, he is our Father. That's source and sustainer. That's the source of our life, and boy, the one who is responsible for sustaining it. That's Abba. That's Father. That's Father God there. Hallelujah. Who he is, Jesus. And watch this, his Father God, he's the Alpha and Omega. What do you mean? He the beginning and the end. I told you, boy, he set up a kingdom, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's the beginning. And not only is he the beginning, all the way down through time and the history of mankind and all through the stories and the legends in your Bible, boy, is a means to an end. What's the end, boy? Is what he started. what was in his mind. What was in his mind? What was it? What was his desire? His precepts, his original idea, his original intent. See, most men, people want to see the hand of God. They want to know what man, you know, and they go out to God for what God can do for them and what God can do for us. And that ain't no bad thing, because all of them want all the things that God can do for us, you know. But man, let me tell you something, that's backwards. But God didn't want you to come to him, man, and to seek the gift of him. God wants you to come. We go to God and tell God what we want to do for us. And the proper way is to go to God and ask God, what can we do for him? That's how you pray. You pray, but you pray amiss. You fellowship, but you fellowship from afar. You serve him, but you serve him, man, through a means in which he's not using no more. That don't mean that, you know, the principles of it is not used. It's just that that's not the way no more. He wants you to serve him in the beauty of holiness. Why? Because, boy, let me tell you something, boy. He who begun a good work on the inside of us, that work that he begun in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, man, he's going to complete that. And if you know that and get in on that wave, man, then you can, man, grow in the knowledge that everything is all right. Why? Because he who have begun a good work on the inside of us, he going to complete it. And when you know what that end is, when you know, like I say, he's not only the Alpha or the beginning, but he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the end. And when you know the end, the finished product, what was in his, and the only way you can know that, you got to know what was in his mind and in his and in his heart. And then, that word heart in Hebrew, man, is in it, what was in the mind of God, his original intent and concept. The people go out his hand, what he can do for them, but boy, man, David say, man, God told David, hey, David, you a man after my own heart. Because David said, Lord, teach me your precepts. Show me, man, you mean, what you doing. Show me your ways. You know what? Not my will, Lord, but I don't want to see your hand, man. I want to see you. I want to know you. I don't want to know, man, you know, I want to know what you want me to do for you and everything else and what I can do for you. But first and foremost, I want to know you and what you want to do, man, for me and in me and through me. I want to know how I can, man, you know, be that mighty, man, be what you say. I want to know that and teach me your ways. Hey, what he was doing, he was seeking first the kingdom of God. He was going after me and God. Well, he wasn't going after God's hand for God to do for him. You know? That's what most of our prayers are, man. You know, go and God and tell him what he want, what we want him to do for us. We want him to heal us. We want him to save us. We want him to deliver us. We want him to provide for us. And all them things that we go to God and ask God for, that's what he meant, God, and already done. He's already saved us. He's already healed us. He's already delivered us. He's already provided for us, man. But as that boy that's in that place, he's already provided the way and everything else into that place, man. He ain't got no problem getting that place to us. But only the complication that he has is us getting that man back to the place where we to worship from. Not on the mountain, not over here, not over there in the land, the promised land. I'm talking about, man, worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, from your spot, from wherever you are. It don't matter where it might be on the face of the earth, man. Hey, the ground that you walk upon, that's holy ground. Why? Because, boy, you hold it. You are the ground. That's the spot. That's the garden of Eden. That's the presence of the Lord. Wherever you are. Why? Because he lives in you. He lives in me. His presence is right there. That's the spot on the earth. That's the garden of Eden. Where that boy, don't come with observation. Where's the kingdom of heaven? Man, it's within us. That's where it begins at. It begins in our heart, in our mind, man, in our spirit, man. And then it manifests itself on the earth. So as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. And listen, if you don't know the end, and you come up, man, with the wrong concepts and the wrong destination and the misinterpretation, man, at the end, then, man, you can come up, man, with contaminated belief system. Let me say it just in a simple way, man. Most believers, man, everything they kind of do, man, so that they can make it to heaven. And they think, man, you know, this is what they believe, that the eternal destination, man, is heaven. That ain't the end. I ain't say we ain't going to go to heaven. Don't misunderstand me. We all going to go to heaven. If you did it. All you got to do is die, and you're going to go there. But that ain't your eternal destination. That ain't the end. It isn't. What do you say? I'm the Alpha and Omega. What? That ain't the end. when you go to heaven, that ain't the end, and you're going to spend the rest of your life, man, eternity in heaven, man, and going territory. Listen, man, that's not the destination. The destination is, man, that place on earth. But in the end, it's going to be on earth as it is in hell. In the end, man, God ain't bringing us to heaven, man. God calling out and earth, man, making earth a colony of heaven through his family of sons. God is extending, man, his territory, man, to our territory. It's on earth like it is in heaven. It's in our life, it's on earth like it is in heaven. Earth is a colony of heaven. It's just like on earth, it's just like hell. That's the end. Heaven on earth, in that spot, the way God started, man, what it was, heaven on earth. He planned the garden, and there he placed the man. And from there, he told the man, man, to make the whole place be fruitful and multiply. What? Gave him a job, sir. Boy, I tell people, man, let me tell you something, man. First thing God gave us is work. What? Become. Become what? Become, boy, everything that I say. And God said, I'm going to show you how to be. Through principles, you know, and laws that I will set up in your life. Like the law of life. Like the law of love. Like the law of faith. Like the perfect law of liberty. Like even the law of sin and death. Even the law, man, of sowing in life. How to apply everything, man, in our life, boy. Because in that place, man, God would teach us his original law. And like I say, as you're growing in that place, boy, you know what you do? You grow in the God's man district. And he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But we can say of the Lord, he's our refuge, he's our God, he's our strength. He's our everything, boy. He lets our lives in his hands, covered, man, under his wings. No pestilence, no nothing, man. None of that, man. A thousand can fall at our right hand, 10,000 at our left. You can't touch this. Not even man, mankind greater than you. Not even physical death. That's why I say, boy, you won't worry about nothing. If you know that, boy, I'm talking about, man, death don't have no power over you. You got everlasting life. And when it's all said and done, when it all ends up there, boy, they're going to be in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. Why? Because that's what he started. That's what he started. That's his original intent and plan and purpose and desire, man, for our lives here on earth. That's why he tells you to pray that in your prayer. Our Father, our source, our sustainer, our. You come, man, listen, man, God said, man, ask me for the nation. You don't just come on your own behalf, man. Bring all the community. Bring every man, every woman, every pope. Be God's best man for all mankind. Our Father, our source, ever Father, your source and sustainer. Well, and watch, he's not on earth, which art in heaven. Hallelujah. First, we petition. First petition. This is how you petition him, man. You know, I ain't talking about the religious prayer. I'm talking about this how you go before your Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. That's through the gates of thanksgiving. That's through the course of praise, man. That's through, man, you know, him summoning you into his presence, man. Through, man, you know, our riches and ceremony and all of that. Through that, man, all the way into his very presence. This is the first petition, man. But when you get there, boy, hey, listen. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, listen, what you doing, Lord? Let that come. What your desire is, Father. What your will is. Show me your precepts. Show me what you're doing. You know, I see what my church is doing. I see what my pastor is doing. I see what other believers are doing. I see what religion is doing. I see what all these different ways that mankind has come up with, man, to reach you, Father. Show me what you're doing to reach us. Show me what you've done to reach us. Because in all our efforts to reach you, man, you're too high. So show us what you've done to reach us. But let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. Not my kingdom. Not my independence from you. Not me, man, trying to accomplish all of that on my own. not my kingdom and not my will. Even though my kingdom might be good things and great things, and my will might be great and prosperous things and everything else, nevertheless, man, my kingdom and my will, man, is a joke compared to your kingdom and God's will for our life. So, Father, let your will be done. Let me say it in a different way. Well, which one would you prefer? All the greatest thing that you can desire for your life, for yourself, what you could hope to accomplish, man. God's greatest, good peace, good happiness, good joy, all that, man. Your will and your kingdom. And compare that, man, to God's will and God's kingdom for your life. Now, let me say it in a better way. Which one you think is better? Your greatest desire for your life or God's greatest desire for your life? If you had to choose one, which one would you choose? God, your greatest desire, the greatest that you could come up with for your life, or the greatest that God has came up with for your life? I choose the greatest that God, I choose God's will. Will or my will. And my will could be the greatest and the best. And but boy, it's a joke compared to this for me. What I could do for him is a joke compared to, the best I could do for him is a joke compared to, man, the best he done for us. Let his kingdom come, and his will be done. And watch how he say, where? On earth. Where? On earth. What happened on earth? His will and his kingdom, his desire for our lives. Wait. Where our lives at now? On earth. His will, his desire, his intent, his original purpose be done in our lives here. Where? On earth. Where? When we get to heaven in the sweet by and by? No, he say on earth. How? Just like it is in hell. How? Just like it is in hell. I'm going to say that again. Let it be in our lives here on earth just like it is in hell. That's God's will for us. That's God's desire for us. That's God's best for us. That boy be in our lives here on earth like it is in hell. That's his original intent, boy. That's the beginning. And let me tell you something. It's all said and done. That's the end. That's where it's going to end up here. Listen, I tell you, boy, that's the first two chapters in the Bible is the alpha. That's the beginning. The last two chapters in the Bible, that's the Omega. That's the end. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that's when God begun things. Revelation chapter 21 and 22, that's when everything is ended. Ain't no way it ended up there. Not in us in heaven, man, forever and ever and ever, sitting down by the crystal lake, man. No, Lord. It ain't on earth. They say, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the city of peace. That had gone up to heaven, I saw them coming down to a new atmosphere and a new world. And what? And the dwellings of God said, well, heaven to God. Heaven. That's where he dwelled in his territory. Our Father, which dwell in heaven. And what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21? And the dwelling place of God. What? He saw the holy city, all God's children, man, coming down, man, to a new area. And the dwelling place of God was with the children of men. What was on the earth? The earth was filled with the glory of God, the presence of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven, that place. It was on earth just like it is in heaven. The atmosphere and the environment and the comfort, the literal presence of the Lord, the whole earth was filled with that glory. Like God was with man, and man was with God. That's the destination. And boy, when you know that destination, man, and you know that you, that's where you headed to, he who have begun a good work on the inside of us, he's going to complete that. You just get in on what he's doing then. And you cease from your works. That don't mean you don't worry no more. You just take it easy and cool on through. Now you cease from your works and you enter into his work. And when you enter into his work, what's his work? What he doing? What you mean cease from my work? Cease from what you can do to try to earn that. And seeking men get in on his work, what he done, man, so that you did that because you deserve that. And that's your inheritance. And you get in on that. And I partake of that. And go in there. And guess what, boy? What do you say? And the dwelling place of God was with the sons of men. Where it ended up at, boy, it's on earth just like it is in heaven. And all our life, all mankind's life, that's in eternity. Right now, we're living in time. We're on our way to that end. When you know your destination, glory to God. When you know where you're headed, and you know, man, God's plan for your life, man, you can start charting your course for that destination, man. You say, well, because you know where you're headed. You know the big picture. What's the big picture? That's the finished man product. It's like, man, a painter, you know. When a painter want to paint a picture, you know, let's say you want to paint a beautiful picture or something. Listen, man, the picture in his mind first. He get the big picture in his mind first, and then he start putting it on the canvas. The very fact that he start putting it on the canvas is an indication, man, that he started something that's already finished. Why? Because he have a big picture of it even before he started. He got an idea. I want to paint a beautiful picture, man, of a beautiful stallion. And, man, he see a picture of that in his mind and an idea of that. That's a pre-sale. His original intent, man, for him even starting, man, the on the canvas, man, with the paint. But he already got, man, information in mind. He already got a precept, a precept. And then he started painting. And what that is, man, that's just like, man, God say, I'll show you, man, what the big picture. What was in my mind that caused my hand to start moving and doing what I do? So that you could know the truth. So that you might know my precepts. And in knowing my precepts, then you'll have good understanding and right understanding. And good understanding and right understanding, then you'll have the right belief system. And then you'll have the right concept. You have the right pictured idea. See, right now you got the wrong concept. Your pictured idea, man, is to spend eternity in heaven, man, with God forever and ever and ever. That's because you don't know the precept, the original intent, and what God is doing. As a result of that, you come up with misconceptions. And those misconceptions, man, produces religion. It's produced through religion, your attempt to appease the deity. To a set of belief systems that's contaminated. Are you trying to get to a place that you were never designed, man, to spend eternity in? So you chart your course toward the wrong destination. But boy, I told you, boy, and how God started, heaven on earth. Hey, listen, y'all, I love y'all with the love of the Lord, you know, and I pray that as God exalts us in his word, you know, that we continue to grow in the knowledge of God's word and God's will for our life. Listen, my wife, Gail, and I, you know, kind of up on the grave rockers we have now. And listen, we pray that this message is a blessing to your life. And it would tremendously bless us, you know, to know that, you know. So if it is, we would ask you, man, you know, if you don't want us to quote, you know, correspond with you, just send us a thumbs up, you know, so that we can know that we're reaching you and that this broadcast is a blessing to your life and helping you, man, grow in your relationship with God. That's Arthur and Gail LaBelle Ministry, Kingdom Life Fellowship Outreach Ministry. Our contact number is area code 713-870-3776. Again, that area code is 713-870-3776. If this message is a blessing to your life, it would truly bless us to know that. If you don't want to correspond again, just send us a thumb up, you know, and all we'll do is send you a thumb back, and hey, we won't respond to you at all. If you do want us to respond and pray for you, then let us know that too, you know. Hey, listen, we love you with the love of the Lord, and we believe and pray and decree and declare God's best for all our lives. That it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Let's continue to dwell in the presence of the Most High God. One love, unconditionally. Look forward to talking to you again next week. God bless you.